Now, most people into megalithic architecture are well aware of the Coral Castle down in Florida. It was built between the 1920s and the 1950s by Edward Leed Skalman. I think that's how you pronounce it. Those of you who know my channel know pronunciation is not why you come here. But anyway, the dude was pretty impressive. He never let anybody watch him work, but he did a bunch of crazy work on his own. Like the door, you can supposedly like move it with one hand real easily. It's like resting on a pebble. All kinds of interesting megalithic stuff, which if you're into this sort of thing, that's interesting because it informs us as to what we can look at in the ancients who are working with this kind of stuff all the time, passing it down over generations. They would definitely have a lot of these tricks and techniques up their sleeve. There's another place on the eastern coast. If you drive up from Florida all the way up to New York, you get to the Catskills, not exactly on the coast, but near Woodstock, right outside the town of Socrates. There's a place called Opus 40. One man spent 37 years placing the local bluestone into this amazing site that you can only describe as otherworldly, really. Let's talk about it some instead of me babbling about it in the intro. Hi, my name is Dan and welcome to Dedunking. Constructed by artist, actor, and professor Harvey Fite, the site is very much a testament to what one person can do with a lot of time and patience. He was originally intending the site to be a stage for his many sculptures. He was going to place them around the site, and he quickly realized that the stage outstripped the players. And he moved the sculptures to different locations on his property, and Opus 40 really took on a life of its own. Now, the area there is a lot more than just a center to check out Opus 40 itself, the stonework. There is a lot of touristy stuff to do there, conservation efforts, bird watching, etc. And if you're walking out in the woods in those regions, you'll notice quickly that there's just things that pop up out of the ground at you. Things that you don't really expect to see. Much like you'll find with the sponsor for today's video, The Land of 10,000 Mysteries by Samuel Siebold. Yeah, that's a sponsorship. I got one. Do you like searching for anomalous locations on Google Earth, but find the end result is often less than exciting? Have you looked at LiDAR images and thought to yourself, I wish I could access this sort of data? Do you like traveling around and looking for anomalies in that sort of data? If you answered yes to any of those, then this book is for you. The Land of 10,000 Mysteries by Samuel Siebold explores the unknown anomalies in central Minnesota. With over 80 full-color maps and descriptions that clearly show Siebold's intimacy with the region, this book shows the topography of central Minnesota like no book before it has, and just as importantly, includes Siebold's description and musings on the region being shown. From potential structures to roads to causeways to challenging the mainstream idea of the glaciation of the region, The Land of 10,000 Mysteries has a look into Minnesota's past that few have pondered and even fewer have seen the evidence of. Count yourself among the few with the knowledge of Minnesota's long-lost past with Samuel Siebold's The Land of 10,000 Mysteries. Link to purchase is in the description. Thank you for your order and a big thanks to Samuel for supporting the channel by sponsoring this video. Okay, back to the discussion of Opus 40. Now, no discussion of Opus 40 could be done without first discussing New York's bluestone. About 350 million years ago, the Catskill Delta was being laid by glaciers and slow erosion. And so you would end up with these deposits of sediment mixed with water, and they would make layers and layers and layers of the sedimentary rock. And this ended up forming what they call the bluestone. And this is really useful for construction in the region, especially before concrete was in common usage in the early 20th century, because it cleaves in flat plains, basically. So you make surface stones, you make basically more or less even-sized stones by just breaking it naturally. So it's a very useful construction material and doesn't take a whole lot of efforts to get to be usable. So it was very commonly used and it was very popular for commercial usage up until around the beginning of the 20th century when concrete started to displace it in the area. You can still find people that sell it today. In fact, in more or less modern times, you could see it being used to make tiles or landscaping embellishments or a megalithic site. Which is exactly what Harvey Fite ended up doing when he purchased an old bluestone quarry back in 1938. You see, he'd searched for an abandoned bluestone quarry because of another sculptor in the area, Thomas Penning. Thomas Penning had purchased an abandoned quarry, one that was basically bankrupt or something like that, where they closed down because it wasn't very popular anymore. And he'd used it as a place to put his sculptures up and make pools and to make it kind of a cool little landscapey effect. And Harvey was like, man, that's pretty cool. I think I'm going to do something like that as well. And in the early days of what would become known as Opus 40, Harvey Fite built platforms for statues with winding walkways and pools dotting this artificial landscape. He'd recently been on an expedition to the Honduras to work on these Mayan ruins, and they influenced his architectural stylings, and you can absolutely see that when you're in the area. There are places where you walk and it feels extremely Mayan or something like that, maybe Aztecian or something to that effect. It's cool, man. It really is. It definitely does not feel like you're in New York. Now, this complex is sprawling and organic, and the curves follow the quarry or the natural topography, and the end result is really striking both from the aerial view and from the ground. Now, from above, you can be forgiven for thinking it's designed to look like the interior of a human ear or some psychedelic vision. And from the ground, well, oftentimes the claustrophobic feeling one gets from those tight corridors is coupled with the feeling of a massive weight on all sides, not just trapped in a tight space, but this sense of insignificance in this space. In many places, the walls are bedrock on one side and stacked stone on the other, creating an artificial walkway that seemingly crushes a person as they walk past. And the walkways ascend and descend in all kinds of different spirals and circles, sometimes natural stone, in the place of steps, sometimes just a natural staircase, sometimes stairs that were made out of stone, the blue stone stacked and put there by Harvey Fite himself. Now, when you get to some of these pools, it's amazing because they're clearly made to be used by people. Some of them have stones going right down so you could walk right into the things and whatnot. And it's a hot part of the country and stuff. It makes sense to have water that you could go swimming around in the area. And it's also incorporated into the art. It makes it absolutely, I mean, it's a dreamscape. There's no question that when you're walking around the place, it's just like, wow, where in the fuck am I, man? It's a dreamscape. Now, these tight corridors juxtaposed with open pools encased in the stone and the bedrock and then the clearly man-made parts of the structure all combined together to create a sense of an almost living thing, like this dead quarry was brought back to life by Harvey. This is enhanced, albeit probably not by design, by the way that the walkways kind of shift underfoot. You know, he didn't use mortar on the things, and there's a lot of sand packed into the walkways in the areas you walk, but you're walking on stone that is stacked on top of other stone, and it's what they call keystone masonry, which we'll discuss shortly. But fact of the matter is, when you're walking through a place that kind of feels alive and you step on it, it shifts. It definitely lends to that whole sensation. I bet you a lot of the people from Woodstock like to come there to put things in their mouth and hang out and be like, whoa, man, because you would probably feel like the dirt's talking to you. Now, if you start from the bottom or the outside of the complex, the pools and walkways are impressive, but they're dominated by one central feature, the massive 9.5-ton bluestone pillar that stands erect like some primitive obelisk reaching to the heavens. The stone was placed, like all the stones here, by Harvey Fite himself. He used his truck to transport the stone, but upon reaching the spot that he wanted to place the stone, he used primitive methods like the Romans and Egyptians, the tripod, and counterweights, and all of that, digging in the ground and moving and shifting, the kind of things we've all heard of in the past when we have these sorts of discussions, the way that they place obelisks, right? That's not a mystery. And after a few days' work, he had the pillar standing tall. He spent just a few years trying to negotiate the price from the pillar from the person whose property it was on. Try saying that 10 times fast. And when they settled on the price, Harvey jumped right into adding it onto Opus 40. Nature and man-made construction dovetailing to form a thing of wonder. And the site's been used for all kinds of plays and concerts and music festivals. And there's even a band that did a tribute to it. And Well, Woodstock's got a thing for artists, man. They've even got a little graveyard that only artists are supposed to be buried in, or like for valued artists or something. And Harvey Fite he's by people who are in the know, he's one of the people that's valued highly in the region. He's considered, a high-tier artist, I guess you'd say. I mean, hell, man, look at Opus 40. What could you say about that, right? I mean, not only did he teach a bunch of people all kinds of sculpture and acting and whatnot, but then he goes and constructs something like this and gets some dumbass hippie from Washington State to go, hey, man, Chuck, that's pretty fucking cool. Now, the moving of the stones was not a difficult task for the most part, not physically demanding, and it required careful preparation when it came to the larger stones. But the smaller stones that make up the majority of the site are actually left over from the initial quarrying of the site. See, the bluestone that's on the surface is generally considered to be the lowest grade. So during the days of a lot of commercial bluestone mining, they would blast that part off and then get down to the good stuff. And so Harvey used using the stuff that was blasted off because it still worked just fine for his purposes. And then the stones are placed lengthwise into the wall, which means that the stone that you see are the ends of the longer pieces, the short end. It uses keystone masonry, a type of masonry that relies on larger keystones to distribute the weight of smaller stones into the wall. Now, no mortar was used, as I said, though a lot of filled dirt and sand was used on areas that are walked on. This helps to distribute the weight and keeps things packed in a little bit better. Originally, it was part of Harvey's homestead, but eventually it became a tourist attraction when his wife opened the site to the public in 1978, about a year and a half after Harvey Fite had passed. He was moving stones, and an accident caused him to lose his life, and he was in the 37th year of building what he expected to take 40 years to build, so there are sections that are unfinished, and while sad, it kind of does add to the elegance of the intricacy of the place. I mean, it feels so alive. It really does feel alive, and I'm not saying there's a spirit of Opus 40. I'm just saying it. You get that sensation when you're walking through the place, like this is a very organic thing. And it's really impressive. I mean, the site itself, the organizers of the site have purchased the old family home. And that's a recent thing, and they're upgrading it to make it ready to be part of the museum. Not only does the Opus 40 Sculpture Park and Museum now own that family home, but it also has a quarryman's museum that Harvey Fite himself made that consists of old tools that were used in the 19th and 20th century to quarry bluestone for the most part. This place also hosts hikes and bird watching and conservation and, like I said, music concerts and like plays and all kinds of short films have been filmed and all kinds of stuff. Look at it, right? If you're in that sort of a region and you know of it and you're like filming things, I mean, come on, you'd film some videos there, right? But I was in the region and I filmed a video there. Duh, place fucking cool. But there's a lot to this site. It's very interesting, and thankfully, I was able to find out about it because of my friend Trevor Grassi, who was basically my local guy when I was up there in the Catskills. And I'll let him tell you something about the site here. Link to his channels below. Check him out.
This is Opus 40. This is Harvey Fite's masterwork. This is like a 40-year project in the Catskill Mountains using just this bluestone. One man, Harvey Fite, he bought this quarry and he built what you're about to see completely by himself. He died in the 37th year, so he didn't quite finish the 40-year opus, but this was all basically the vision of one man. He just started it, building these platforms out of the stone, because the stone is naturally just gets these nice flat cleavage to it. You can make walls and patios. So he just bought the whole quarry, and what you're about to see all came from his vision of building some platforms and then just going wild with it. A truly amazing artist. And that's why I got my Coral Castle shirt on today, because I call this the Coral Castle of the Catskills, where, something you don't see every day.
Yeah.
But takes advantage of this amazing local bluestone we have. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's natural steps.
Special type of stone. And, yeah, this is like, I grew up here, and so I started working with this stone when I was like 14 years old and making stone walls, and I did patios and ponds and pathways and stairways. It's so much fun to work with. And, you know, when we get into the megalithic ancient, you know, stone masonry, it's really good to have some personal experience with working with stone, because, I don't know, I always loved it. You make something like this, it's going to be here long after you're gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. This is actually a modern megalithic site, because technically there is one huge megalith at the middle we'll walk up to, a giant obelisk he placed in the center of it all.
Nice.
You can see some of these round platforms here and here.
Was he planning on doing more of the same?
These were where he was going to put his pedestals to put his sculptures on, basically.
Oh, because he's a sculptor, yeah.
The landscape art became the sculpture, so this became the project itself rather than just these.
A place to hide, yeah.
Yeah, the gallery.
Good God, man. He went to town, though.
All this work down here.
One dude.
Yeah, 37 years just working like crazy. And in the 37th year, his tractor rolled over on him. And he died, sadly.
Game over, man.
Yeah, it's like he became a martyr for his art. I think he's an artyr.
An artyr.
It was very sad, but kind of poetic. He lived and died for this piece of art.
Yeah.
And that's why he's one of my heroes. It's truly a great vision that he just kept following through on.
Thanks for watching. I really appreciate it. Don't forget to check out Land of 10,000 Mysteries down below. Thanks again, Samuel, for sponsoring the channel. And don't forget to check out Trevor Grassi's channel down below. If you ever end up in the Catskills or in that region, look up Opus 40. It is definitely worth checking out. There's also a bunch of other cool places up there. Catterskill Falls. There's a lot of interesting places that Hugh Newman has spoken of. These chambers and these stone walls that I will eventually be doing a video on. There's all kinds of cool shit up in this part of the country. I've got links to my stuff too if you want to support me. And thank you very much. Hope to see you next time.